At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on the show, we have Tiffany Rupert. Hi, Tiffany.
Hello, guys.
Joining us all the way from Brazil. We appreciate that.
My pleasure.
So for our listeners who may not know who you are, do you mind giving us a background on yourself and how you got into photography?
Yes. So I'm a French photographer based in London, currently traveling in Brazil. And I started photography pretty basic. I was traveling. I was in 2012. So back then, phone wasn't a thing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to Australia. Yeah. So I was like, I really need to record those moment, you know, it was my first big trip and stuff. I was supposed to stay there for a year. So I was like, my iPhone 3 won't do the job. So I'm just going to grab SLR, you know, whatever SLR camera. And that's what I've done. I don't even remember. I think it was a little Sony. I don't even remember. And then I actually loved it. Like first it was just supposed to be for me to, you know, share those moments on Facebook. I didn't even have Instagram back then. It wasn't a thing as well. I feel so old.
Yeah, I know, right?
But then, just enjoy the whole thing. I was studying there, actually. I was studying communication and I was like, I wanna learn photography. That's the thing. I'm just in love with this.
Wow.
So that's how it started.
So your work is, incredible.
Oh, thank you.
It's like everything I wish I could shoot. Like, I want to travel. I want to shoot.
You can.
Do you do photography full time or do you have like a day gig? Or I know you're traveling right now, but.
Well, it's hard to say. Like, since the pandemic, mainly I'm like, okay, who am I? What do I do? You're just trying to meet both needs. But I used to have a second job when I could do it in London. I was a street art tour guide. So I was just giving, so that was also like, that was very fun, you know, meeting a lot of people, also quite arty because obviously people are interested in street art of kind of, you know, so it was the perfect job to alternate with being a photographer. And then, you know, what happened? So I was like, oh, there is no more tourist in London. I cannot do that job anymore. And that's when I start traveling to Brazil a lot. My wife is Brazilian, so it's easier for us to just, you know, come all the way here. And then, so it's been like this for 4 years now.
Wow.
Obviously, I was going before because the pandemic just started in 2020. Let's not be that dramatic, but
it feels like 4 years.
Yeah, it's exactly. And I'm losing track of time as well. So I'm like, okay, what year it is? But I always kind of have a job. I live in London, so kind of needed it. But now I'm trying to rethink the whole thing. I don't know if I go back to London to kind of be a full-time photographer, struggle a bit. I don't know. It's all a bit confusing right now, but I'm here. I enjoy every single minute. I'm shooting here a lot. I brought a couple of film camera that I can tell you about later.
Yeah. So I when we first reached out, you were kind of like, well, I'm mostly digital. And I was like, that's okay. Yeah. And then I checked back in. You're like, actually, I'm back on film. Yeah. So How did it start? I know you said you got a digital SLR. When did you kind of dip your feet into film? And then I love that it grabbed you back again. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So when I started getting into the photography world, you know, I started going again. Back then it was Tumblr. And every
picture. Oh, Tumblr. Yeah.
Every picture I will fall in love with. They were film photography. So I was like, okay, I might try, you know. So very naively, I ordered, I think it was a Canon AE-1 on eBay, shot my first roll.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shot my first roll and it was horrible. So I was like, yeah, no, it's not my thing at all. Like, so bad.
No way.
Even the subject I chose, I don't know why. I was like, okay, I'm gonna keep it basic. I'm just gonna taste. I think it was flowers. I don't know. It was very bad. And I struggled so much. I didn't understand much. Because I think also when I was shooting digital, I was shooting a aperture priority, you know, so it was easy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So for me, it was so hard shooting film. I'm like, yeah, no, it's not for me. But I really love it.
Right.
So it was a love and hate kind of story that lasted a few years until 2018. I got married in Copenhagen and I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to bring just one camera to kind of record.
Ooh, that's how you do it.
It was an elopement. It was just me and my wife, you know. I was like, I'm just going to bring that one camera. So then I don't have any other option, you know. And then I'm really focused. I learned this whole thing, blah, blah. And then when I developed that film, I was like, yeah, okay, that's cool. I love the picture to that day. I love those photos. And then, yeah, since 2018, I kept on trying. Sometimes I would drop it. I was like, no, like for job, for work-wise, you know, I need digital file. It's right. quicker yeah, and right. so on. But then, yeah, I think I came back to it all the time. And now, since we spoke, maybe what to say in English, you spark a fire. You just start, plant a seed in my mind, something.
Good.
I'm like, you know what? That's a sign. No, I love analog photography more than anything. It's more about the process. Because with time, I feel like I learned how to kind of give that analog touch to my digital photo, you know, the look is very easy to kind of reproduce, but the process, the pleasure I take when I shoot with an analog camera is totally different. And that's what I want to feel all the time when I shoot, you know? So I'm back to
relatable.
Yeah.
See, that's my big issue with digital is I just don't know the tricks of getting it to look like film. I think if I had that skill set, which I'm sure I could learn, I'm just so stubborn in my ways with film photography. I like always need my film.
Well, it's a whole process in and of itself.
It
you
is.
Know?
Absolutely. But that's why for me now is more about the process than the results. Knowing we can easily simulate the look of it, you know, there are filters, there are way on Lightroom. It's quite, I mean, if you dig into it, I'm sure you can, but then if you don't, if there's no pleasure, then what's the point? You know, I'm like, no, it's more about the process now for me at least. And that's why I'm 100% back to it.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Man. So do you still have the AE-1? Do you still have the Canon?
I still have it, but something very bad happened to me. I fell in love with Leica. So now
Same.
Yeah. I heard that you got the M6, right? Is it the M6?
No, I have the M4.
Oh, nice. So no light meter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
No light. So that's a little tricky. I'm still getting used to that part, but.
Yeah. Do you have like an external one or you just play the 16?
I have an external. I also like use my phone on the fly.
Yes.
So it's okay.
Very handy. Yeah. And it's nice as well to practice and to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's easier. But yeah, so I fell in love with Leica. So I'm currently traveling with an MP that Leica lent to me. Because I was like, yeah, I kind of had my eyes on M6 and I was like, okay, Tiff, you're not going to just buy an M6 first try, you know, because digitally I'm using a M240, which is very nice.
Okay.
It's not like one of the latest model, you know, so it was quite affordable. And the M6 now is still very expensive.
I know.
If not, it's getting more and more. So I was like, okay, let's give this a try and see if you like it. And I love it. I love it. So yeah, I'm going to have it for 2 more months because that's the time I'm going to stay here in Brazil. Then I'm going to have to give it back or not. I might just run away into the Amazonia. Let's see if you get lost.
Now, are you a Leica ambassador? I know that you do a lot of stuff with Leica. How did that come about?
Yeah, so no, I just work with them. I happen to work with them. We got a very great relationship. I'm not like an official ambassador, but we work together a lot. They first contacted me during the first lockdown shoot a project using their, it was the monochrome, you know, the Q2 monochrome. They were about to launch it. So they wanted me to shoot a project with it, you know, to kind of promote the camera, doing what I do already, which is documenting my life, my love, all those kind of everyday things, you know? And, and that's how it began. They find me on Instagram and reach out. And I was like, okay, that's great as well. I was so, so happy. And since then, yeah, we kept this nice relationship, which allowed me to travel to Brazil with this very expensive and beautiful film camera. Wow.
When I saw that you had that, I was like, that is pretty. I never really liked a black camera. I'm always like, I like the silver ones,
I'm
you know?
I'm too.
But that, I was like, whew, that is pretty.
Yeah, I could have been picky, you know, they lent it to me. I would have said, please have the silver.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, no.
Oh my gosh.
Don't want that one. But yeah.
What a great company to work with too. They're amazing. Yeah.
And they're super cool. You know, before when I didn't know anything about Leica, or like just a couple of years back, I was like, okay, it's very expensive camera. I was even a bit judgmental. Who is going to spend that much money? It's just a box with a hole, which it is. But this is a hole gives you so much pleasure. It makes me want to take picture all the time. I wouldn't say I wouldn't if I was shooting with, I don't know, I love my Canon, but something about the ergonomy, the weight, the everything that makes me want to take it all the time. And for me, that's what it is about. You know, I love to document my life every day. I'm not like a studio shooter. So for me, it's very important. And Leica, I think for that, they're very, very unique.
Yeah.
They do have all of them. I've had the M3 and I have an M7. And I'll tell you, even the M3 just feels, as the MP like you have, that's a fully mechanical. And I'm sure it just feels so beautiful when you, and all the Leica haters out there, they're just like, oh, it's just a camera. But it's like when you hold one, you know, and I was sent one on borrow. It was like, hey, you know, take this one, check it out. And I was like, I cannot give this back. So, I don't know how I'm supposed to give. And then I bought the damn thing. So
that's how they got you.
They're just beautiful. I can't say enough about that company. I mean, and plus they're still like one of the only companies still making film cameras.
Yeah, exactly. Which, and like I was saying, the thing is they're not just, they're great people. Like I exchange with them very often. They're very cool. It's not like this kind of very, you know, I will picture them a bit kind of very strict and very classic talking to you in a very, cool, so nice. Yeah. The camera are expensive, but yeah, it's great.
Amazing. So Tiffany, I personally love all of your series that you do.
Thank you.
Can you talk about where you find inspiration for that? Because I feel like, at least for me, when I have a thought of like, this is going to be a series that I'm going to do that like really gets the fire going for me. Is it like that for you as well?
When you have an idea for a series, you mean? Or?
Yeah. Like when you know this body of work is going to be this.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I don't know. Yes, most of the time, sometimes I have the idea. That's something I'm kind of thinking of. And then, like, for example, here in Brazil, and that's also why I borrowed this camera. I want to shoot a series about, I mean, obviously the light here is incredible. So it gives very beautiful poetic atmosphere. And that's something I want to document. Staring my favorite person in the world, the muse, my wife. I love to photograph her all the time. So I'm like, okay, let's do something. And that also how I pitch Leica. I say, I want to do something on film and, you know, create a long series and maybe publish it in a form of a zine. You're the first one I'm saying this to. Instead of just instead of just because obviously I'm not able to develop or scan anything, so I cannot post as I go what I used to do the years before.
Right.
When I'm going to have all this body of work, instead of just, you know, daily publishing on Instagram or so, I'm like, maybe I'm just going to gather the best and do a little zine, something like that. And the inspired me here, is just the atmosphere, the lights. And I guess here that's what I'm working on. But then, you evolve, you change a lot depending where I am.
That's you just said something really interesting, like shooting a series, but then waiting till the end to get it all developed. That just blows my mind because we like with Instagram, you know, we want to shoot it, develop it that night, post it that morning, you know. I really like love the idea of just shooting and then coming back
to
it all.
That is also why I loved that I came back to film photography, because before, I know, like, I've been to Brazil for about almost a month now, and I know before we'll just, you know, take a cool picture because it's beautiful here and be like, oh, you know what, I'm going to post it, get some feedback, see how it goes. And then I will just get into this. It's nice. I love Instagram. I love sharing with people. For me, it's a really nice thing. You know, I'm not, I don't feel like I'm not one of those who are like, oh, it's bad. You just kept your time, blah, blah. I'm very happy with it. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's great passion. But you can easily, you know, get into that, fall into that trap, you know. So shooting film, I have no choice. I'm just going to wait. I was in Sao Paulo until 2 weeks ago. So I developed the two first film that I shot. And now it's, everything is just, let's see. And I learn also to, I learn this because I'm very not patient. I'm very, very not patient. So it is teaching me a lot. Yeah.
Me too.
So this is teaching me a lot, you know. Even when Leica, when they asked me to shoot that series for them about the lockdown and stuff, I was supposed to wait almost a month between the day I shoot the series and the publication. So for months, I couldn't publish or anything. And I was like, but then actually give me more ideas, you know? So I was like, oh, maybe I'm going to shoot this and that, you know? I was kind of sitting on the idea instead of just, okay, I'm just going to publish. And you're more intentional. So
yeah, that is so interesting. It like almost doesn't get in the way.
It's just, you're just thinking, you know, you think way more than, because then if you post, you're going to have to interact and then you got some feedback, you can change. If it's just you, your idea, your inspiration, then it can only get better. I mean, that's why I feel now I'm getting more mature. I don't know, but I want to be more intentional about it. Yeah.
Wow.
I love that. And I needed to hear that too.
Me too. I just going to say that like, well, you just changed my whole like thought process.
Man, so while we're talking here and you're in Brazil, how hard is it for you to get film while you're in Brazil? Or is it something that you packed and brought with you? Or
I'm feeling, so I have to go through three airports to get where I am here. I'm in Bahia, which is North Brazil. And the last airport, I forgot to ask for end check. And I'm like, I hope it's going to be okay. I got some 3,200 film. So, and if anything, you know, it's just, I mean, that's okay. I'm documenting. It's not like for a big job, like I said, you know, something very, so it's all right.
Right.
But I bought everything in London and brought everything here with me. Yeah, got quite a few. Yeah. Just,
How many roles? I don't even know how I always plan that wrong. I'm always like, I'll need 50
roles. 75
roles.
Yeah.
And I'll shoot like four or whatever.
To ask the same as you. I was like, you know what? Better too much than not enough. So I think I might have like, 30, 40. I'm like, I'm just going to keep them anyway. You know, it's not lost. I'm not going to leave them behind. Yeah. And I,
exactly.
But the thing that I went a bit crazy with, there is zero harmony. Like I took so many different roles of different brand and everything. You know, I'm like, I might try this and that and this.
Okay.
So no consistency.
Man, I'm the same way too. And it's funny because like I'm just a black and white guy. So like I don't know why I always pack like 30 rolls of Portra when I go somewhere when I know I'm not going to shoot
and
it.
Like
exactly. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, it's just, you know, depending on, I don't know, sometimes, maybe this light, you know, would do great with that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's just peace of mind.
Yeah.
What are your go-to film stocks?
So now that I'm here, it's, I would say the gold, Kodak gold. And I just learned yesterday they released it.
Yes.
In 120.
Right.
How exciting.
Yeah, that's
how
amazing.
Exciting.
And I just started shooting medium format like last month or so. So, and I think it's going to be my favorite film. So I'm very happy. So then I can just shoot both and same, film stock, which is great.
Oh, perfect. What camera did you get? What medium?
I know.
The Hasselblad 500cm.
There you go.
Somebody asked my husband, or they asked me, what are my favorite cameras? Uh-huh. And my husband was like, oh, her Leica M4 and her Hasselblad. And I was like, babe, that's so right.
You know me. Yeah. Definitely a very, very nice combo. And that's a great camera. I never shot medium format before getting that one. I knew, you know, that's something I was thinking of for so long. You know, when you kind of visualize the thing, even the gesture, everything, and you're like, I'm sure it's going to be okay. And with that one, the first wall, I was hooked. I was like, love it. Yeah, absolutely.
You're enjoying the square format?
Yeah, it's very different, you know. It's, like I said, it was my first time, but yeah, so good. Like, it's different way of obviously framing, thinking your picture, composition. So interesting. challenge you a bit, you know, and I think it's great when you've been doing the same thing for a while. It's great to be challenged. I can get easily bored. So it's like, ooh, everything feels new, you know, so loved it.
I think too, it complements if you're putting together like a zine or a book or something like that. If you're shooting 35 and in like a medium format, square format, I think they really lend themselves to each other when you're doing a layout. I noticed that in the last like little, well, it was two zines ago. I was shooting some square and 35, and I was just like blown away with how easy it was to lay that out, to have that option of...
Definitely.
And something about square is just so classic. Like, it just reminds me of, like, you know, the 50s, 60s. Yeah, it's just, it's so good. It's so good.
I was going to say, for me, I remember I was, like, kind of turned off by square for a while because it reminded me of Instagram. So I was like, I don't want to do that. But now I'm like, what you said, Timothy, it's like, it is the classic, like, that's what everybody was shooting it back in the day, all the greats, you know. So, and it is a trickier, like you said, Tiffany, with, you know, it challenges you a lot, and I'm really
so different,
really loving it.
So I mean, it's the first one I tried, so let's see if I then move on to something else. But for now, I want to explore it even more, you know, see where it can go.
So since it was your first one, what made you get the Hasselblad? Did you do a lot of research before?
Yes, research. But mainly, I didn't think too much because that's why also I love Leica. I'm very, I don't like to have a lot of stuff. I don't have like a woman handbag, you know, I just have my little pocket bag. Like, it's so everything has to be small and very handy and light, mainly. So this one is, I think, is one of the smallest. It's quite light.
It is.
You know, compared to the other, like my this kind of thing, which is amazing. But I know I will be, you know, I wouldn't take it as much as I do, you know, like here I can take it with me, walk around, you know, definitely.
Yeah, I just went for a walk with mine for the first time ever. I was like, I always take like a point and shoot or my Leica. I'm like, I'm going to walk around with my Hasselblad.
Good.
Yeah. See how many people are like, look at me funny. Like, what is that?
Well, that's how I get that. I need to find myself a smaller medium format camera because I have, I have the Mamiya C30 or 332. Mm. Like it's a square format, but it is like literally the biggest square format camera you can get. And then I have an RB67, which is like my diehard camera. I love that camera so much, but you have to have a strap that has padding on it just to carry the camera around.
So, yeah, no.
Cause it weighs, it probably weighs more than your baby.
My God. Totally. He's a little guy, so it's not hard.
But it when you have those kind of cameras, even the Hasselblad or like the C330 or whatever, like people are drawn to that when you're out shooting. Like they love seeing those cameras in the wild and they always want to come up and talk to you. And I feel like if you're into documentary style or street photography or something like that, they're great cameras to take with you because people want to know about it.
Definitely makes the whole thing more interesting. And I know that some people, because of the weight, they prefer something bigger for stability, these kind of things. But me, it's the opposite, you know. I'm not like huge, you know. So I'm like, no, that's all I can hold.
That's one of the reasons why I've never wanted the you know, the Pentax 6.7 or any of those, because I'm like, I know myself. I won't use it because it'll just be too heavy.
Same.
I mean, I could see if you're in like a like if you had your own studio.
Yeah.
You know, just set that puppy on a tripod and you know use it when you need it. But
Of course, it depends what you do. Absolutely. So for what I do, which is traveling at the moment, that was my best option. Yeah, to answer your question, that's the main reason why. Yeah,
it's a good one. So you made the right choice,
definitely.
And that's something I have to work on too, because I take a book bag with me to back and forth wherever I go, and it is filled with three cameras and more stuff than I know what to do with. And I ended up, because it was so nice out yesterday, I ended up walking the couple blocks down to my job. And then I'm getting off of work and I'm like, man, my neck hurts. I was like, why am I so sore today? And I was like, oh, I just lugged like a 50-pound backpack 2 miles down the street.
How many photos did you end up taking?
None. Not a single one.
Just getting some air from my camera.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's like my baby. I need to take it with me wherever I go.
No.
Man.
So, Tiffany, have you done any like zines in the past, or is this going to be your first one?
It will be my first one. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes, you know, once in a while, I receive some very cute message from people on Instagram saying, hey, do you plan on launching a book or somewhere? And I'm like, no, it's for me such a big thing. You know, I wouldn't know. I don't know. But then I think something more, you know, more chill that I can do is not that much of a big deal. I feel able to do so, but yeah, book will be the next step, and in a couple of, maybe, yeah, not for now. But yeah, Designia will be my first one, and yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, yeah, let's see.
Man. Your work is screaming for a book, just so you know. Like,
thank you.
Yeah, that deserves to be like on somebody's coffee table, just ready to flip.
Nice for you. Thank you. Well, we'll see then.
So we're very excited, yeah.
Thank you.
Do you have any, how far along are you in the process? Are you just, know that's the end goal right now, and you're not really worried about it, or do you kind of have like ideas, a publisher?
No, at all. Absolutely. I'm just in the process of creating. That's the only thing I want to focus on, worry about, you know. I really want this kind of freedom.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, I'm here for 2 more months, which gives me kind of sometimes, you know, to start thinking about it. But yeah, for now, I'm just thinking of, I've been traveling a lot actually, and I arrived here just 2 days ago in Bahia, where I will spend the next 2 months. So I'm here with my baggage, with my camera, not moving around anymore. Mm. So I'm going to be more, again, intentional about it and start being more serious about it.
Sometimes I feel like that's the way to go, though.
Yeah.
Because if you, I don't know, some people can, you know, shoot for a project, or some people can just shoot and then the project kind of comes.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how I am. Anytime I try to like bullet point some ideas and I'm like, this is what this is going to be about, I need to get these shots, it never works out that way. I feel like I always do a lot better when it's just like organically kind of confused or fused together, not confused, but fused together.
Yeah. Once again, I'm challenging myself as well, since I never done that before, or you know, like I worked on series but not in this way. So it's also maybe, you know, at the end of the 2 months I'm not gonna be able to make it. Maybe I'll say, well, you know what, actually didn't work out, but there is no pressure. That's the thing, is me, my decision, my idea. Let's see how it evolves. But yeah, I mean, here if I don't come up with strong body of work, I'm very bad, because it's incredible around here. So I don't know if you guys been to Brazil before.
No,
I have not, but
okay,
I would love to go.
If you do, make sure you ask me, okay? And I will give you all the beautiful tips.
Okay, great.
All right.
Did you ever do any show? Have you ever shown any of your work? Have you ever done any, you know, little gallery shows or anything like
I've
that?
I've done
or?
Some small shows, you know, like one in Brick Lane in London a couple of years ago, showing a series that I shot actually here in Brazil the first year I come, which was about a tribe. A Brazilian tribe, but that was shot on digital, you know, so back then, that's not when I stopped, because back then I had my 5D Mark II, and that's what I mean when I say that I know, for me, in order to take picture every day, go out with my camera, I need it to be small and light, you know, and the 5D Mark II, anytime I was like, oh, I should take picture, but I was, you know what, now I can't be bothered. So yeah, I just shot that series that got exhibited in Brick Lane in London. And then this year I've been to, what is it called again? You know, like it was in Milan in Italy. It was a group exhibition, Nation, Photo Nation.
Oh, cool.
Which they do this like twice a year, sometime in Paris, sometime in LA. So it was in Italy. Carla, never been to Italy. I was like, okay, let's go. To that part of, So yeah, that's what I've done. So it was nice, you know, like I don't do this often. Obviously the last 2 years it was just impossible, but it's always so nice and so intimidating as well. When you met strangers that, you know, either follow you on Instagram or so, and they're all smiley and say, I love what you do. I'm like, you do? Thank you so much. So nice. So nice. So yeah, that's a great experience that I would love to renew anytime I can. So we see.
Awesome. I love showing work. It's like one of my favorite things in the world. I wish I could do it monthly or weekly.
Yeah, you got to meet people and it's exciting.
Yes,
direct feedback.
Yes. Yeah. And just getting that feedback too. Cause you know, we get the feedback on Instagram and it's, you know, it's all fire shot, beautiful, da da da. And it's actually, somebody comes in, like I'll never forget, you know, it was like one of the first times where I ever did an art crawl and hung up, you know, 10 of my photos at a spot, and somebody came in and they were like, wow, you really have an eye. I was just like, I could have cried. I was just like, oh my God, it's actually, it's working.
Yeah,
you know?
That's like, the best. I'm always like, I got this very stupid smile and like very like humble and
yes,
very awkward. But yes, it was it. So I understand, definitely.
Man. Yeah, the only time I ever showed my work was years and years and years ago in a Barnes and Noble.
Oh, still very cool.
They had the wall that they changed out every month. Cool. Yeah, but it's funny because I think I'm like ready to do it again, but I'm like kind of scared, you know, like where would I go? Like
just need to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I still say we need to do like a group show of like all of our.
It's nice. Yeah. You get to meet people. You can be just anxious together and it's nice.
Yeah. There you go. If I'm going to be nervous, you're going to be nervous with me.
It's like me today, you know, like I love your podcast, guys. Like that's one that I used to listen like so long ago. Aww. So when I think it was Chris, who got in touch with me, I was like, cannot believe it. And I was like, no, I can't say yes. I can't. I'm so intimidated. And then, no, you know what? I'm going to do it.
Yes. We're so happy to have you.
So, yeah just definitely. Do it.
Let's do it. Yeah, I know. The group show, I mean, like you said, COVID shut everything down. So I don't even know what's going on. But like, it really is a different experience, you know? And like, you know, with analog, we talk about the, you know, the tangible aspect of like holding it and like seeing it on a wall. Yeah, it's just like definitely. Way different than whether it's Instagram or Twitter, wherever we're putting all our photos. But like, yeah, that's the next thing I recommend to people. Like, print your work and hang it up somewhere.
For sure, for sure. Such a humble experience, yeah.
Even in your living room, man. Then you get dinner. Your photos and stick it in the living room.
Yeah, but your friend? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Where's the food? No, just look at the picture.
I hung these up all for you to come look at. So did we ask you what... I don't remember if we asked you what your go-to film stocks are.
Well, I said that I start falling in love with the gold, Kodak Gold.
Oh, the gold. Okay,
I think it starts to be my go-to because the versatility is nice. It's okay, you know, but also with this, obviously, those golden tone and where I am right now makes sense. Mm-hmm. In London, I would say not that much. So let's see when I'm back home, which for now is still London, where what is going to be like, obviously classic portrait, you know, because I think that's what everyone start with because it's classic, you know, it's something that you can trust. Black and white, I always did Ilford, you know, Ilford 500, some Fomapan because cheaper. Yeah. Fomapan is great as well. And I never tried, but I just brought with me some Delta, 3200. So let's see. I've seen a few portraits with the grain. I'm like, I need to try that one. So I brought a few work with me. And let's see. Like I said, it's a bit frustrating, you know, traveling with so many film and not being able to check at least, you know, to be like, okay. Yeah. So what I've done when I got the MP, I just ran a test roll, you know. It was a Cinestill. So I just took like a model. We've been to very cliche. Ooh. We've been to the tube station because of the light and everything, you know, very quite cinematic. And oh my God, so it was my first time using the MP. Yeah. I go to the, to my lab in London and I was telling the girl surrounding the film. I said, I'm excited. It's the first time ever. Take off the plate. The film wasn't properly rerun. So I was like, I wanted to cry. And then I was like, I'm so bad. Why? See, I cannot have analog Leica. No, not for me. So quickly, I put it back, do it properly, give it to her. I was like, okay, if it's ruined, well, it's ruined. And I was going to Brazil the day after. So for me, it was very important to try one roll to be sure the camera was okay, you know.
A few days after,
I got the scan back and I loved it. Obviously, a lot of light leak, but it was so cool. I was like, that's cool. It's okay. It's weird. That's not how it's supposed to be, but it's kind of cool, you know? Happy accident.
It's funny because I saw those images and I was like, wow, Cindy still looks, and you're like, oh, light leak. And I was like, wait. If you're shooting with the MP, like, how could that have happened?
Now you know. Exactly.
Oops.
And then when I got to Sao Paulo, that's where I landed, I shot two other roles just to be sure, right? Can I do this properly? And it was perfect. Mm-hmm. It was nice. So I was like, oof, okay, I'm good to go.
There you go.
So now, I got all those new films that I'm dying to see, you know, what is it like? Like the Delta, I can't wait to see a nice portrait with that grain, you know, but I'm going to have to wait two more months.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I'm learning patience.
Oh. That's like, it's like a, I don't know, like torture, but also like.
Exactly.
Like,
it's
like a good torture.
It's teaching
you know
lot,
what I mean?
Like I said, and because I really want to be, like when I say I want to be serious about analog photography, I want to get paid gig, you know, I want this to be my main camera, my main job. Yeah. You know, so I need to, I need to accept that I need to wait a couple of days and stuff. When I first started doing analog, I was scanning myself. I will just go to the lab for the development and scan myself, which will accelerate the process a bit.
Oh, wow.
But the result wasn't. I was like, you know what? It's worth the extra days and extra bucks. So I'm just going to pay the lab to do the whole thing.
I just had the thought process last night because I have a newborn that I have so much film too. And so my thought process to just keep shooting and just keep sending it away to where I'm just like getting scans every couple of days. RIP to my wallet, but like at least I'll be happy.
Especially with a newborn.
So since you kind of did that happy accident, do you think you'll do more of that experimenting, like opening the back?
Honestly, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, not all the time, but I was like, okay, it was very quick, you know? So I kind of remember the only thing, I don't know how rewind the film was. So because I wasn't controlling anything, but I think that's something you can experiment from time to time. And weirdly, like maybe two or three pictures were, you know, intact, nothing. So, and that's what I love as well with film photography, those kind of happy accidents, you know, it's just so good. I love that. So I'm like, it's worth trying again.
Yeah, that's one of my absolute favorite things of film. Even if it's not an intentional mistake like that, you know, sometimes cameras just, you know, sometimes shots are just weird and you're like, what happened with this one? But man, is it so neat.
Exactly.
Yeah. And do you remember our guest, Wendy Laurel? She would, that was like part of her look. So she would like shoot a bunch of roles for like an engagement session and then just like open
them. No way.
And I was like, yeah, and they're always like, I mean, and her stuff was amazing because it would just be like, yes, Wendy Laurel, check her out. She's a friend of the show.
She's got it down too. I mean, she's got it down to where she's putting out courses on how to like
light
leak your film and do
how to screw your film intentionally. I love that.
Exactly.
I'm going to check that out.
When you have to return the MP, do you have any plans of maybe getting that
after
M6
crying?
That you wanted? Or
definitely. I'm already kind of start emailing a few people. And also, just message out there. If someone is selling a good condition M6, I'm here.
Awesome.
But I'm already in touch with a few people. So let's see the condition, the price, all that. You know, hopefully in 2 months, it's not going to go double again because it's insane.
It is crazy how the prices have.
Yeah.
So you still have... You still have your eye on the M6, even though you've been shooting with the MP?
Yeah.
I would have thought. Okay.
Yeah. But first, because I think the MP is still way more expensive. And, you know, MP stands for mechanic perfection, right? And it is really perfect in the way that, you know, when you push the, I'm losing my word, the film, no.
Oh, the film advance?
Yes.
The advance?
The film advance. Yes. You know, it's so, so silent. And I won't lie, I kind of love the big cracking noise, you know, that, for example, Canon E1 would do, and even an M6, right? I never wore the M6 or tried, but I know it's a bit more. So...
It is.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's an amazing camera. But I wouldn't mind going back to something a bit more older, you know?
That's
interesting.
Yeah. That's also why I love shooting film, you know, this kind of... quietness, the noise, the mechanic noise, and this one is perfect. It is mechanic perfection. Everything is so smooth and silent. So it depend what kind of shooter you're. I'm not a street shooter or someone who wants to be silent, and you know, that's also I love the silver. I don't need to blend in, you know. So for me, I like
the noise.
I like it too. I even want to get this Summicron silver lens. I want to go full silver, you know?
Ooh, full silver.
Yeah.
I love that look.
Go ahead. You're going to tell the story about how you're like a black camera guy?
Yeah, I was just going to say. I'm so like, I've always wanted a black M6 for life. And then it was like, I got a silver M7, and it's like, I am completely in love with the look of it. It's so classic looking.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But tell them what you did to the letters.
You painted.
Oh. No, I scratched them out.
Oh my
I scratched
because
they have paint. They have black paint in them, and I just, it didn't look right to me. So, and I saw people, I go on this one, Leica Mods, it's a Leica Mods group or website or something. And you can look at all the things that your Leica is compatible to do. Because I also want to get an old, like an MP or an M3 film advance.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
This kind of website.
Yeah. I don't like the way the M7's film advance feels. I like the solid bar of the M7 the M3 or MP has the same one, I think, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would I would definitely. I want to get a black dot too. They have.
Yeah,
you
I was
know,
gonna say that's the red dot. The next thing.
Yeah, I might send that to somebody that actually does that. I want to get the MP. A lot of people too. They get the MP viewfinder yes. in their M6s and M7s
because
of the light. Yeah, yeah. The you'll get really bad light. You won't be able to see the rain. Like if you're shooting into the sun,
the patch.
Yeah, yeah.
From flare.
Oh, wait. So what? Say it again. What?
So your rangefinder patch, if you're shooting uh-huh. kind of into the sun, the yeah. rangefinder patch disappears.
Right.
It's like
okay.
notorious for the Classic and the M7 and stuff. So now people just go and they get the MP viewfinder put into their M6 oh, or
see, maybe I will regret this perfection.
yeah
that camera, I mean that's a bucket list camera of mine, the MP
totally
sure.
yeah
but yeah they're like 10 grand yeah. so.
Are they really?
I mean
I didn't even go look because I was like I don't want to
yeah,
cry
insane. It's insane.
Yeah, look it up, you'll be surprised.
It is insane, but
wow,
once again
definitely.
Do you do work with like models and stuff, right?
I collaborate with models actually. It's most yeah. of the time yeah or they reach out or I reach out when I have an idea or want to shoot something specific or yeah, and then we just have a mood board and go on with it.
Yeah, so I because that's something that I've my work lately has been, I kind of have an idea of what I want my work to look like, you know?
Yeah,
but then it's like then you have to like go out and actually like
do
make
it.
Some
yeah.
photos.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So can you talk about if you have an idea and like the mood board aspect of it and like who you reach out to? I would love to hear like that whole that process for you.
Yeah, so if I have the idea, say, I don't know, I'm watching a movie, there is a mood I love, or I'm looking, I don't know, a magazine or even on Instagram sometimes, you know, something kind of pop into my mind. I'm kind of putting together a few images, a few moods. Sometimes there is no even human in the picture, it's just an atmosphere.
Mm.
And yeah, something that I want to translate into a picture with someone because I love taking picture of human. That's my thing. Even when I shoot a landscape, yeah. I need a human presence, you know?
Yes.
It's not for me. I'm not a landscape photographer or, and it's weird because when I started photography, I could not picture myself shooting people because I was so shy and I was like, I would never know how to direct them or to tell them. And when I started, it was awful because I would just tell them, yeah, it's great. And it was not. So they were not behaving the way they were supposed to. And at the end, I was like, yeah, no, it's not great. But you learn. Mm. So yeah, so I put together a mood board and either I know the person because I follow her on Instagram or she's a friend of a friend and I send her the mood board, be like, hey, if you like this, maybe you can shoot there because I think it would be great, blah, blah. Or I just go on some groups, Facebook groups sometime. I mean, at least that's how I started. Or I would contact some agency and ask for test shots, you know? And same, I will send my mood board and they will see who can match my idea and send me a list of people. And yeah, that's it. It's really, for me, it's a way to keep being productive, you know, instead of just waiting for the project or waiting for the gig or something. It's just a way to keep producing picture because the minute the model or the agency say, okay, yes, we got someone. Well, you have to get up and shoot, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just a way to keep those picture coming. And so I would really advise anyone, either if you start out or if you're a professional, but you're kind of not doing much at the moment and you're afraid you're kind of getting a bit tired or a bit bored, just do this. Put a mood board together, send to some agency. I'm a photographer. I would like to do test shoot. Here is my idea. Would you have someone up for, you know?
Yeah.
And most of the time, they're very happy. Free picture, you know, it's great for them as well.
See, that is like so inspirational.
It's cool.
And I think something I really needed to hear right now. I mean, because I have people I know that I want to work with. And I every day I'm like, today's the day. I'm going to just send them a message. And then I don't. But I love the idea of like presenting something to them.
Yeah.
You know, like this is the idea. What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, instead of just going like, let's go shoot. And then who knows if you get anything good.
Exactly. And also they need the model. They need to project themselves. They need to know, okay, what clothes I'm going to get. They don't need to, you know, if they see the mood board, they're going to have an idea. Even the mood, you know, like let's say it's a very moody, moody shot. So I know they're going to kind of practice this moody face. If it's something more light, airy, like let's say, I don't know, something in the nature, very sunny, is more like happy face expression. That makes sense, you know? And they need to be aware of that. Because model is a crazy job. It's like you need to be talented. I would never, ever be able to pose for someone. I'm the worst.
Right.
So
no,
they kind of need to be prepared as well. Yeah. It's wow. So, yeah, I would definitely advise anyone to do that. And even if you're scared or if you're not used to it, you start with one and then, and you just keep doing it and then become something you actually look forward to, you know?
When I tell you that I'm like really so inspired right now, it's because I've been just like kind of like bummed because I, like I said, I know what I want my work to look like and I feel so stuck. I feel so stuck.
So just do that.
And when you say like it keeps you shooting too.
Yeah.
Like that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yeah. After just put a few pictures together or something that make you feel and then reach out to, I don't know if there are, I mean, of course in LA, there might be some agencies.
Yeah.
Maybe friend to friend or maybe a friend around you, someone, you know, and just, yeah, get into that mood and you're going to feel great after. That's the, I love this feeling when I finish, you know, shooting with that model and I give life to just an idea. I'm like, okay, I'm feeling good, you know. And it doesn't really matter if the picture is great or not. It just kept me doing it, you know, and you learn more about everything.
And you could tell, like, when you look at your work, you can kind of tell, because I was always like, how does she do it? How is, you know, there this all this incredible work, where does it come from? And now I know.
Yeah, simple as that. There's no secret, just practice.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back with some listener questions for Tiffany right after this message from our sponsor.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Just wanted to pop in quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. We've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We get together, we develop some film, we talk shop, we laugh, we have a great time. Definitely one of my favorite parts of the show is the Patreon Develop and Hang. Just getting to hang with you guys. Chris and I, we love it. Patreon is the best way to help support the show. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Thanks, guys. All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Scalecough, and they wanted to know, does she feel like film enables her to portray the intimacy of her shots, or is the format irrelevant? Is the fact that she shoots film important to her final result?
Good question.
Love it. Yeah, great question indeed. Okay, so yes, absolutely. It does create intimacy.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, absolutely, 100%. And that's also one of the reasons why I'm getting back also professionally to analog, because obviously I documented a lot my life with my wife, so I don't have this issue of, you know, how can I translate the intimacy? I mean, it's already here. But I also love to create a fake, if I might put it this way, intimacy with stranger when I photograph them, you know, to kind of get who they really are. And I feel that analog makes it way more easier. And when I was shooting digital, even professionally, you know, like I was saying, like at some point I felt more like a technician, you know, I just press the button. Yeah, they're going to be a nice picture. Yeah. Of course, you know, you don't really know when to stop or... It's more, you know, and with film, you have just a couple of rows. And I love that, you know, there is, okay, I know I have, let's say we shoot one or two rows. I'm going to each of them shoot them very intentionally. Yeah. And also the fact I'm shooting film, there is something going on with the model. They also think is a bit special. And it's more, okay, we're really going to take our time. You know, it's more, it's slower, so more intimate, obviously. So definitely, that's something that I, and that's also why I think, yeah, the reason why I'm going back to shooting film as well is for, to create this atmosphere, this ambience and shooting professionally and enjoying this process. For me, there was nothing like this. So yeah, definitely.
Amazing.
You hit that one right. Yeah.
So yeah, great question.
Yeah, great question.
I know what you mean about like the digital, because sometimes we'll get like, even when, and I kind of touched on this on our last podcast, but I got a digital camera because to document my son mm-hmm. because I thought like, well, that'll just be easier. I can just do it easier and be faster. But it just, it doesn't, you know, you are shooting too many mm-hmm. or, and then the, you know, the process of like, okay, now I have to download exactly. them and now I have to edit them. And it just wasn't doing yeah. it for me. So
yeah, like I said, it depends what you go for. If you want easy, like for example, here in Brazil, got a friend, she got a bar. So she asked me to shoot a few cocktails for her. Obviously, I didn't shoot film because that was something that I wanted.
Right.
Yeah. Easy, yeah.
You know, there was no brainer. It was like, right, I'm just going to take a picture of a drinks, you know? So for this kind of thing, 100%. But when it comes to the human side, the proximity, the intimacy, creating this kind of atmosphere, for me, a film does it make it very much more easier and more sense to me.
When you do a job like that, are you still using your digital Leica?
Yes. Yeah. I'm still all the time
that's
with
the camera.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I'm still,
Leica girl through and through.
Yeah. Because even,
I love it.
Since I started shooting Range Fighter, which again, before shooting with the Leica, the M240, I never tried. So first I was like, I don't really like it. I'm not sure. I actually wanted to sell it the first month I got it because I couldn't get used to the range fighter thing, you know. The patch for this patch
tricky.
Was okay.
Yeah.
It takes a minute. Yep.
I was like, how do I know I'm actually, you know, getting the picture right? Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just out. Anyway, it was for me so, so weird. And then I loved it. So now, when I took back one day for one job, my SLR 5D Mark II that I still have because it does the job.
Yeah.
And because it was so weird to see it through the lens, you know. I was like, my God, it felt weird. So yeah, even when I'm shooting still, I'm still with my Leica, with the manual focus. That's something that now feels way more natural to me, weirdly. If you would have told me that before, I wouldn't believe it because I was like, it's so easy. Tac, tac, you see it through the lens, you click, done. But now it's more about, even when I'm shooting drinks, I'm like, no, I'm just going to take my time, tac, I got to focus. And again, I just take one picture. And I know this one is the one. Even if I would shoot a drink, trust me, with the SLR, I would take 3, 4, 5 just in case, you know? But
why do we do that?
It's a drink. It's not even moving, you know? The light is okay. So you just need to press once. And film as what teach me that, you know?
So funny.
To be more, obviously.
I was going to say, it's funny when you talk about like when you switch back and forth to formats, like how you're like disoriented, like,
it's like seeing through new glasses. It's, you're confused.
I was just going to say, I love frame lines. Like once I understood the concept of like what's in that frame and the fact that you get the extra space
that you can see the world around,
to see what you can pull. Yeah. You can pull it into your frame. It's just, and you will get there. Like if you're a person listening to this and you're just like, man, range finders are awful. I don't get it.
Yeah.
They're hard to do this. They're hard to do that.
Yeah.
If you stick with it for a couple months, a couple weeks, a year, you will start to, there's like this really good
previsualization.
You previsualize. That word just hates me. But you build this like anticipation kind of, it's almost like a sport feeling. Like, you know, if, I don't know how to explain it.
But no, for sure.
There's just something about it. And then when I go back to an SOR, I'm like, there's just too much. I can see it all. I don't know.
Same feeling here. And then, like it's weird because I hated it first. I was like, not for me. I try because I love to try new things, you know, to see then I can talk saying, okay, I try. I don't like, but I don't want to judge something or say. So this, I was like, okay, it's interesting. You know, why not try it? Didn't like it. Try to sell it. Didn't work. I was traveling to Brazil, I swear. And I'm so happy it didn't work. The sales, because then I came back from Brazil.
That's
I'm like,
so good.
Okay, you know, it was itching. I was like, no, I want to try again. And I spent the whole summer just shooting with it and falling in love with it. And now I want the film version. So
love that. How are you doing with the Hasselblad? Like,
The waist
upside down,
the waist,
backwards.
You finder level. Yeah, I love it. So it's same. It's a bit weird. You know, first I'm like, oh, wait, I don't go there. No, sorry. Go the other way.
Yeah. I'm like crooked backwards.
Then again, very challenging, but love it. But this I was, because at first I was challenged with the range finder. Like, okay, Tiff, you know it's going to be weird. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, go with it. And love it.
Yeah.
The process,
and it's,
for sure.
That's another one that your brain will just click one day and you see perfectly fine with it, you know?
Okay, that's what everybody told me, but I went and got a viewfinder.
Viewfinder, yeah.
Hey, that's fine. There's no worries on that. I mean,
yeah.
I think if you would stick with it long enough though, Chris, like if you just once a day pop it open and yeah. try to just like focus on, you know, so a baby bottle on the counter or something.
yeah,
you'll start to figure it out, cuz your brain will just start to flip it that way.
And right.
like now I haven't opened one in months, you know, and I bet you if I open it up, I'll still see the same now out yeah. of it as I did.
Yeah, just yeah. find it so pretty.
I think it's just something until you're, yeah, it is. It's, mm. oh, I love it.
Yeah, true.
All right.
Good question. Good answer.
Yeah, good answer. We got two more for you here. Well, it's one more, but all it's right. a two-parter.
Yeah.
All right. So it is the age-old desert island camera. You can only choose one for the rest of your life. What will it be and why?
Can it be one that I never tried? Because I kind of feel that the M6 would be the one.
So,
well, that's part two. You can use that as your white whale camera.
Uh-huh. Okay. So then I would say the MP for now. Bye, Leica. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That. Yeah. You can use the M6. I mean, there are no rules to this. I mean, whatever.
Because obviously the Hasselblad is one I enjoy so much, but obviously for portability reason, I would definitely go with the film Leica. Yeah. Yeah, for all the reasons that we mentioned earlier. So I don't want to be this kind of Leica guru, say the same thing again. But yeah. definitely, yeah, because yeah, the way the this and that, love it, love it, love it. And that's, yeah, like I said, that's something that makes me want to pick up, like just go on adventure, yeah. walk around, yeah. take pictures. And that's what I love doing more than anything. So it gives me so much joy. So yeah. That's the one.
I love, that's like kind of the best one. We ask this question a lot. Like if the answer is it makes me get up and shoot, it's like
exactly,
the best.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. That's what you want. So that's the one.
great double answer there.
Yeah.
That was good.
Good.
I can't wait for you to get your M6.
Yeah, right?
I know.
To have like a celebration.
You're going to feel emotional uh-huh. after we'll everything that I said about yeah. it. Oh my God, she got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Finger crossed, guys. Yeah. Yes.
Well, Tiffany, this has been, like I said, such an inspiring chat. We thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for being flexible with my schedule. I know we kind of last minute was like, I'm going to have a baby.
Yeah, yeah, she had to go and have a baby. I mean, come on.
We appreciate that. And this has been, like I said, phenomenal. So where can everybody check you out online, Instagram,
yeah,
website?
Yeah, mainly Instagram. So I'm Tiffany Rubert, R-O-U-B-E-R-T. Instagram mainly. I got the website, but Instagram is where I'm very open, my DM and stuff. I talk a lot with people on a daily basis. Oh, I try to post some behind the scenes kind of thing, you know, so yeah, that's the place.
Amazing. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, I'm on Instagram and Twitter. It's at Timothy Makeups. I also have some film photography related YouTube videos. Go to the search bar, just type in Timothy Makeups. You'll find a bunch of my stuff there. Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We are Analog Talk Podcast on Twitter and Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. And there's a Facebook page and a group there as well. So Tiffany, yay. Thank you.
Thank you. Merci, guys. Thank you so much. Yes. It was great. This is so happy to be on the podcast.
Amazing. All right, guys. Bye. Bye.
All right, that's going to be it for this week's episode. First off, Chris and I would love to thank Tiffany for coming on the show. Doesn't she have the best voice ever? I mean, you definitely win the trophy for best voice on the show so far. Great getting to hear your story. We love what you're doing. Thanks again for taking the time to come on the show. We greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Develop and Hang nights over there. And as always, Patreon is the best way to support the show. For all the Patreons who already helped support the show, guys, we do not know what we would do without you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you have nothing to do, head over to iTunes, give us a rating. Doesn't have to be 5 stars, not begging for that, but give us a rating. It helps make the show a little more discoverable. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. Guys, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week with an all new episode. Later.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget.
Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.